Good morning. I'm Barry Hanson, and somebody said to me one time, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Joe's dad." And they went, "Oh, okay, right, we know who you are now." How are we doing, guys? He's biting his fingernails. That's always a bad sign. There we go. Well, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy, and it's going to be a fairly detailed study. So I hope you're prepared for doctrine this morning. Everybody prepared for doctrine? Wow, such excitement. Almost like watching the All Blacks play, isn't it? It's difficult, isn't it? You know, we want to learn, but it's never easy. I don't know about you. I've always found learning hard. What we're going to do over the next few months is to in-depth look at 1 Timothy. But before we actually talk to about that, go back to where are we going? Wrong way. That's it. So, what we're going to do, I just want to give a brief overview. That's basically my job, is to talk about why the book was written, why Paul did what he did, why he said what he did, and so on. And so we have to understand this is Paul the Apostle, was Saul, was a leader in the Jewish nation, member of the Sanhedrin, was there when they stoned Stephen to death. And so his conversion was a dramatic event. And one of the things I love about the conversion is that, you know, as he's there on the road with Christ, you know, Jesus said to him, "Why did you kick against me?" What he kind of knew, you know, but Jesus fulfilled all of the requirements of the Messiah. And the Apostle Paul must have seen that, but he fought against it until he had that meeting with Christ, and then he really understood what was going on. So we want to look at the Apostle Paul just briefly, and then Timothy, and then why the books were written, because I think it's very important. We're at the early stage of the church. We're trying to understand how a church should be established, and we know from the epistles that Paul wrote, some of the churches had great difficulty. Corinthians is a very good example of that. But there were difficulties in all the churches. Guess what? That has not changed. 2,000 odd years later, we still have issues about how a church should run, who should be leading it, what they should be doing, and so on. See, Apostle Paul's instruction in the pastoral epistles are telling pastors, telling elders, telling bishops, telling missionaries, this is how a church should be established, and this is how a church should be run. And so there's a lot of information in here in these epistles. We'll talk just briefly about Paul. You know, he, as an apostle, he was commissioned to go do. In the process of that, he came across Timothy. And it's interesting that when we look at Paul's qualifications, you know, he's just carrying out what God told him to do. Jesus said, look, this is what we need to do. We need to establish the gospel. We need to establish Christianity. We need to establish the church. These are things that you are required to do. And Paul said, okay, what do I do? How do I go about it? And we have no idea what actually went on in that meeting between Christ and Paul. All we know that he's a changed man. And from then on, the power that he had was like nothing we've seen before. If we look at all of the New Testament, we see the impact the Apostle Paul made throughout the whole. And he went and did what he was supposed to do and gathered a huge amount of information about how things should be done, how important certain things were, how unimportant other things were, what was right, what was wrong. And so we have the world being turned upside down with the gospel and churches being established, but of course in all sorts of different communities, all sorts of different customs, all kinds of situations. And so he was instructing Timothy and Titus and saying, regardless of the situation you are in, this is how a church should operate. I like to call it the church checklist, because that's what it is. We could actually write a lot of the things here and go, are we doing this as a church? And then it gets personal. And what are you doing as your role in that church? And that's a challenge, isn't it? What are we doing? And so on. Now, Timothy, saw in the little video that Timothy was a young man. Now, you have to be a bit careful here about what young means, okay? in the day, a young man was probably somebody under 40. And when Paul wrote this, so Timothy could have been 50, but still regarded as a young man. And that's because old age was venerated and assumed knowledge. But anyway, he had a tremendous reputation, and he followed Paul and listened to Paul and understood what was going on. And Paul said to him, tell you what, why don't you come with me on the road? This is the second missionary journey. And so off they went for months. And so there's no doubt that Timothy was mentored by the Apostle Paul. And he had a lot of opportunities to learn things as time went on. And so we see when we come to him writing to Timothy, there's no doubt that there is some correspondence going from Timothy to Paul. Get that feeling from the answers. And the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I know you're going to face difficulties. I know you're going to face problems. What you have to do is to understand God's not going to change his mind. Okay, this is the way I've been told to do things by Jesus Christ, by God the Father, through the Son. And this is the way that the church should operate. And this is the way it's supposed to go. And so, Timothy, I'm going to write to you, and I'm going to write down all the things that I've come across as much as possible. And you'll see that as we go through Timothy, there's a lot of detail. An absolute lot of detail. It covers everything. There isn't anything that could come up in the church that is not covered by the rules that are covered in Timothy. And I love the fact that, you know, when he's writing to the Corinthians and he's saying to the Corinthians, think about all the things in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that Paul is correcting. And there's nothing new here. I mean, this is life with fallen human beings, you know. This is just the way it is. But the whole key message seems to be you have to do things properly. You have to do things decently and in order. I was talking this morning, you know, the word decently could be interpreted a number of different ways, but the word order can't be interpreted other than in order. There has to be an order, and Paul is setting out, this is how the church should operate, and this is what it should do, and this is the people that are running it, and how they should behave. So it's a whole organizational structure from the time of Christ until the Lord returns, and the church should not change. Now, I'm getting old now, and I have seen a lot of churches change. And I'm sure my grandmother, I can almost remember her saying, she was Welsh Valley's chapel, and she used to say, shake her head and say, the church today, and then we're talking 60, 70 years ago, and she was concerned about the church changing. And if you read some of the stuff written in the 17th, 16th centuries, people going, oh, the church today is terrible. And so this is not a common problem. The church has constantly been changing. And it shouldn't. Because Paul set the rules. And if we follow the rules, we're not going to get into trouble. And yet, it's a fight. We used to sing that hymn. We don't sing it anymore. Fight the good fight with all your might. Who remembers that one? It's old, isn't it? It shows your age. Sorry. but fight the good fight. Yeah, because why? Well, the world is constantly going to be trying to change us. The world is constantly going to be saying, you're wrong. What you need is a bigger band. Now, nothing wrong with a band that we have, but perhaps we should have a bigger one, eh? With More drums. I was telling someone, we went to a church one time, it's our first time there. There were 13 musicians. And the noise was so loud that some of the little kids had earmuffs on. Now, I don't understand that, okay, because I'm really old, all right? Now, and I believe that if you go to concerts and things, sometimes it is that loud and so on. But I don't understand that. You know, that where would you find that in the scriptures? You can look through the whole New Testament and guess how much there is about music. Well, you look for yourself, okay? You know, is it important? Of course it is. Do I love to sing? Yes, I have a terrible voice, but I don't care. I love to sing. Okay, it's just the way that you Welsh. You grow up singing. You don't have a choice, okay? And so, yeah, but what role should singing play? Well, you know, it certainly shouldn't be to the detriment of the people coming in that they go, well, this is, you know, that's not the message we're trying to send. So Paul is saying, look, you've got to trust the basics. You've got to understand that our job is to go into all the world and keep them happy. Is that what he said? No. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and guess how happy people are going to be about that? It's, you know, we're going to fight the fight, because that's what we're supposed to do. And we have to understand that there are some rules about who it is that's allowed to do some of these things. Church must have a structure. Now, I've been involved in various structures. I've been in a church with a pastor, been in church with leaders, I've been in church with elders, I've been in church with all sorts. Okay? The important thing is how you run the church. And that's why the checklist is here, and it says, what are we doing? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Sound doctrine. You know, all the things that are associated with preaching the gospel. And then the church should be a community, you know? We're a family. Now, families have all kinds of mixtures. But we are required, under the gospel, to get along. We're supposed to love each other, right? We're supposed to love each other. You go, amen, amen, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's my sister. We have to love each other, okay? And we have to demonstrate that love as a community. Someone comes in here, they're supposed to see the love. Not, how can you come in here dressed like that? You know, no, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to understand that there are various people who need love and support more than others. And our job is to look to see what to do. A church should be a home away from home. It should be somewhere where we know that we are safe. And so many churches today are not like that. And so that's something that we need to worry about. And we're supposed to have the right perspectives. Now, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and they said, oh, why are masters and slaves, why are slaves, you know? And I said, well, slaves are important. And they said, well, you don't have slaves today. Yes, you do. You got a job? You get paid? That's a contract. And guess what? You're a slave to that. Because they're paying you to do the work. If you don't do the work, you probably won't get paid and you probably won't have a job. So you're supposed to be doing that work to the very best of your ability as if to the Lord. You're a slave to it. Now, of course, they're supposed to look after you as well, but that's a different story. We all have situations where we work for people that we don't like. We work for people that we don't agree with. And in the past, I've had that and I left. And that's, you're allowed to do that. But while you're there working under the contract, you are a slave to it. And you're supposed to do the best. Rich and poor. Wealth should mean nothing. Now, I know that's a bit of a problem sometimes too. And Timothy talks about that. But we should be concerned about eternal life. You know, the way the We go into all the world and we preach the gospel to every creature because we want to see every creature saved. Amen? Well, I do. How about you? Yeah, amen? Yeah. You know, let's preach the gospel every opportunity that we can. But certainly when they come here, our job is to preach the gospel. And I love that when that happens. You know, you've got to tell people they're sinners. They don't like it. I know I didn't when they told me. But it's a fact. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we have Jesus Christ as a Savior. Savior of all mankind. And so we have to concentrate on spiritual things. In our 10 reasons for existence, one of the most important things is Scripture. And the Apostle Paul, when he's writing this thing, he's writing Scripture. He's writing what we should understand to be the rules around behavior in church, how we should operate, what we should do. And this is the only tradition. We have to go back 2,000 years to when this was written, because Paul was instructed by Christ, empowered by God, and this is what is truth. And so we have to look at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus and say, what is God telling us? Whatever he's telling us, it's truth. And we can't have any other tradition. And you remember that when the church was established, the Jewish nation had all sorts of traditions which he had to overcome. You know, you had to be circumcised to be saved. You had to be baptized to be saved. These were things that had to be overcome. And so we must use scriptures. And the Paul, you know, Paul, when he ministers in Timothy, he says, look, I'm going to talk to you about the problems that you're going to face. And there is corruption. We are corrupt by nature. And mankind is corrupt by nature. And you're going to face corruption. Teachers who are teaching falsely. And it comes up regularly in the New Testament. And then we have to overcome confusion. We have to overcome false doctrine, poor testimonies, people who say they're Christians and don't behave as Christians should. And so we are going to be in the preaching business. Someone said to me one time, we were talking, and they said, you just love to preach, don't you? And I said, well, love's perhaps not the right word, but I think it's necessary. You know, we're supposed to be preaching the gospel. We're supposed to be telling people the good news. And get the opportunity, we should do it. Because salvation is important. If we don't understand the importance of salvation, we have to think, have we got our priorities right? It's not for me. It's all right. For somebody else, don't worry about it. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because it is. We have no promise for tomorrow. I was thinking about that this week. You know, those poor people, a week ago they didn't know anything about a cyclone, and right now some people have died. And you go, they didn't think about that last week, that their lives would be shortened. That's the way it is. We have no promise of tomorrow. And so it is urgent that we speak the truth and not worry about what people think. Because who knows how long we've got? I remember first hearing about the second coming of Christ. You know, I was a young Christian. And I got a little bit concerned about that. And I went and talked to the pastor and I said to him, when's this going to happen? And I was thinking more about getting my life in order and sorting some things out because I hadn't been saved very long. And he said, well, we don't know. And he said, but we have to prepare because it could be today. And that immediacy is something that I think has been lost in a lot of churches. They're not preaching the gospel. They're not thinking about immediacy. And that's something that we have to do, because the Apostle Paul, he talks and writes to Timothy, he says, you've got to be on the ball. You know, you've got to be doing it, because if you're not doing these basic things, you're not really fulfilling the commission, and we should be. And of course, there are some rules about what we're supposed to do. And the whole idea of bringing good works into the church is something that the church has had to fight forever. And so that's going to continue. People are going to go, well, if we're good enough, we get... Well, no, there is none good, no, not... Sorry about that. That's just the way it is. That's preaching. It's just the way it is. So, 1 Timothy is going to be tough. It's going to come across some things that we'll need to think about seriously. And as I say, it's a kind of a checklist. It's are we doing this right? And it's a good thing. It's cathartic. You know, we can stop and think and talk about what we're doing and are we doing it right. And let's face it, this church has changed over the years. We were coming down here on holiday when you were going through the whole change, setting up what you believed in and why you believed it and all the rest of it. So we kind of saw it from the outside. But let me tell you, it's not going to stop. You're going to be faced with challenges. You're going to be fighting the fight. It's what happens in a church. And we're all part of it. I'm going to preach every opportunity I get. They probably won't give me that many. But any opportunity I get, I'm going to preach, because preaching the gospel is what we're supposed to do. Come unto the Lord and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for the letters to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith. Wonderful thing to think that he had that kind of reputation and that kind of relationship. And Father, we just pray as we consider together those things that a church should be and our role, what we should be in the church. We just pray, Father, you'll bless us and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen.